Good afternoon, folks. You are listening to Arts Underground. I'm your host, Katie Ganaway. Our series Behind Our Local Music Scene continues with our guests today. We have Ben Holloway and Justin Miller with the Five Points Recording Studio in Huntsville. Hello!
How's it going?
Good, good. How about you, Ben?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, so we are sitting here in the studio that you built out of, what, the Valley CW old building. Can you talk a little bit about your old studio in Nashville?
Yeah, my old studio was up in East Nashville, and it was called Yellowhammer Studio. And I worked with a bunch of people in Carrie Underwood's band up there. We did a lot of country mostly. So moving down here, you know, we had to kind of learn a whole new set of genres, and it's been really rewarding, you know. In the past 3 years, I feel like I've been the biggest growth for me musically, you know, because Huntsville is such a diverse music scene. It's been a long, slow process getting to this stage, but, you know, I don't regret any step of the way, and I'm really glad to be back home.
Ben, talk about your transition, like how you got in here to be a producer at the studio.
That was also kind of a long, slow process. So I graduated from Alabama during COVID. Everything was kind of shut down. So I had lived here previously, and so I had connections here, and I was hearing about some of the developments with like the amphitheater coming and some of the things that Huntsville was trying to do to build the scene for musicians. So I figured, hey, if the world's shut down and I just, you know, got out of music school, that'll be a cool place to go and, you know, see what opportunities come up as they kind of rebuild out of COVID. And I didn't know that Justin was building out this space and getting it ready at that time. And we ended up meeting at, it was like a volunteers event for Porch Fest and Five Points. And Justin showed me around a bit. And then I was back for a concert that they had here because my friends in Common Man were playing here. And my friend Hugh and Violet were performing. And I ended up talking to Justin for a while. And he was like, hey, we got a lot in common. And we've, you know, worked with one or two of the same people. And would you be interested in like doing an internship? So came in, shadowed on sessions, tried to learn what I could, and after a while, Justin was like, hey, by the way, you got promoted to assistant now, so congratulations. So that was a...
Yeah, he can run sessions all by himself now, and it's really awesome. So he's doing a great job, you know, and it's taken a lot of work off my, you know, shoulders, which is great, you know, to share it and see him, you know, grow as a musician and producer. And he started off here barely knowing Pro Tools, and now he knows it almost as well as I do, so it's great.
Yeah. So from y'all's perspective, as music producers here in Huntsville, how has the music scene grown in the last few years since you started Five Points Recording?
Let's go back to when I grew up here in, you know, the 90s and 2000s, and in my band that I was in. And the scene was much smaller then and less diverse. There was a large metal, hardcore underground rock scene back then. It was actually bigger than nowadays, and I was part of that. That was kind of my world back then, you know. It was more like rock and metal, and so I didn't get to see a whole lot of what else was here, but I knew a lot of musicians and other genres and bands. But I feel like nowadays there's a lot more opportunity, and there are more people trying more interesting genres and subgenres than I even see in Nashville, you know, which is awesome, you know, because it's like every other day we have a completely different project that we're working on. You know, like this week we have Rocket City New Music coming in, and they're doing a collection of pieces here in the studio, and it's like classical-esque music, but it's more, you know, it's what they call new music. You know, it's like chamber-style music. And then next week we have two country projects and a southern rock project and a rap project and then another country project on Friday. So it's a lot of country next week, but that's not usually what we do. We've been doing all kind of things. I mean, we got Jane and the Huntsman coming in a couple months. We have Emma Klein, Rap Prater coming in, Lana White's coming in. I've been working with a group that it's a Colombian-based record label, and they do like reggaeton. So I've been doing a lot of reggaeton with these guys.
Hence all the shakers around.
And that's kind of why I bought a lot of the hand percussion. But their stuff has been reaching like really high stream counts. And they have they actually had an artist that got signed to Disney like earlier this year. And I was on a TV show, and Savi is his name. So we did a song with him like a few years back. So we're trying to grow that. And that's almost like a side adventure, I guess. You know, we're working on all kind of stuff. And the music scene here is just like the spectrum is just beyond what I even could imagine. I think we all, you know, at the end of every song, we're all very happy with what we produce here at the studio.
I was going to ask how, because you mentioned a lot of great local artists there. How did you sort of build up that clientele? Like, how did you get the word out when you first started?
Well, I knew a lot of musicians, you know, just from growing up here. You know, I had a couple little open house type events and little shows and bring people in. I really used Facebook to my advantage during COVID. I only put down $1 a day on the ads, and there was no competition for anybody promoting a recording studio with Facebook at the time. So I was winning every bid for an ad that anybody that was interested in recording studios in North Alabama was seeing our advertisement, and it was getting like thousands of likes. Even Matt Mandrella asked me, like, how do you market your business? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm putting $1 a day into a very targeted placement. And it brought in a ton of inquiries. And I really just opened the studio, and I thought it was going to be kind of like a trickling effect of getting work in here, you know. But it was honestly like kind of overwhelming right from the beginning, because I never had that kind of business in Nashville. It was more like working with artists on their project for like a month at a time, and only one person at a time, maybe two. And now it's like I'm, you know, juggling, you know, right now we probably have 10 to 12 projects that are like in the beginning phase to completion that we're working on. So
Ben, I see you at events sometimes, like local music events. How have you sort of established a relationship with these people in the music industry here in Huntsville that way?
And a lot of it, I'm just trying to kind of copy what I see from the people who are doing well, and the people that have helped me out a lot. I see what they're doing. I see that they're out there meeting people and building like meaningful connections with them. I know that people like Cody Gopher or Mario Maitland have, you know, I bump into them and they go and introduce me to everybody they know. And then they tell me what they've heard that's good that I've done. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I really appreciate that somebody said something nice about me when I wasn't around, you know? And so I'm just trying to learn from them the way that they network and the way that they put into the community. I really like what Cody used to have in his bio on all his social media, was the point guard of the culture. You know, the point guard's the guy that's passing the ball a lot, and he's, you know, distributing the ball to the other players and getting them in it. Just trying to do the same thing that I learned from them. I know that my time as a musician to have an impact is going to come if I invest that way. So,
talk a little bit about your background as a musician as well, because you're an incredible pianist. Oh my God.
Well, thank you. So I started out as a pianist. I wanted to be a guitarist, and there wasn't a guitar teacher in town, at least that we knew of. But I learned a little bit on my own from, it helped that there was a friend who, a friend, Alan, brought me a guitar when he found out that I needed one. He got one built for me. So I learned a little bit, but then I started piano when I was 10, did piano through high school and as my principal instrument for my undergraduate in music. And classical music kind of wasn't cutting it for me. I think partly just trying to keep up with the like competitiveness of the level you have to reach as a performer with that was really tough with where my mental health was in college. So I took a step back and focused more on composing, because I'd always wanted to be a composer or a band leader. And then when I went back to school for my composition degree at Alabama, they helped me like really find my direction. Dr. Zaharie was like, you really know rock and metal, like you should make that your thing. And I was blown away that my composition teacher was telling me to lean into playing progressive metal. And by that point, you know, I'd also been playing guitar for years as well and kind of learning both sides of it. So I just try to figure out how to blend the classical that I know, the theory that I know, as well as like the intuitive side from playing rock and metal and first songs I learned were by Weezer, so I bring a little bit of Weezer with me.
Everybody needs a little bit of Weezer with them everywhere they go.
Yeah, you really do. I love some Weezer. I teared up a little bit when I saw them at the Orion a couple years ago.
I saw them too. It was so amazing.
I didn't realize how impactful they were on my childhood, you know. So, you know, it's like G-Main said at the networking thing yesterday, people put music...
That was Here to Be Seen.
Yeah, Here to Be Seen. Yeah, yeah. People put music into boxes, but there's two kinds. There's good music and there's bad music. And, you know, it's kind of a funny thing, but like, that's the same slogan we had at Alabama. Was good composition is good composition, is what Dr. Zaharie drove into our heads. So it's like, don't put it in boxes. And that's like what Justin does here too, is he brings a little bit of the film composer to all the sessions, brings a little bit of the metal to all the sessions. You'll hear his Mesa Mark V on a lot of pop tracks where you wouldn't expect it, and it's a fun sound.
So, Justin, can you talk about your collaborative efforts with other local music entities in the Tennessee Valley, kind of like Huntsville Music Scene or other recording studios, maybe the one in Decatur, Clearwave? Or...
So, yeah, Judy runs the Huntsville Music Scene, and she puts on the Porch Fest every year, and we're, you know, glad to be a porch sponsor every year for that. And we get to work with Rocket City New Music, the Aeolians. We get to work with Kelvin Wooten on some projects.
What would be your dream collab that you haven't done yet with another local music entity?
I would love to just make a whole record with Kelvin one day. I think that would be amazing, you know, because we...
I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
We've done a couple tracks together. We did a track for Matt Prater, and that turned out really great. And, you know, we did... I was part of the Huntsville Anthem here, you know, they recorded the choir and the drums here. Didn't get to do a whole lot with that track, you know, but, you know, it was fun working with Kelvin on that, you know, from the early stages. Yeah, but I would love to work with him on a record one day, just because I feel like our backgrounds are very different in terms of, like, what we excel at musically, and I feel like they complement each other. I feel like me being like primarily a guitar player and him being a bass player, keyboard player, and just our genre strengths, I feel like they could really, you know, create something really amazing and new sounding, you know. I think that'd be really fun one day if he's down.
What's up, Kelvin?
So, okay, y'all are both wearing Five Points recording shirts today.
Yes.
So what is the significance of the howling wolf there, if that is a wolf and I'm not blind?
So I didn't bring
and it him. Says yeah. Your sound unleashed. Sorry, yeah. I forgot that part.
Yeah. So I didn't bring him in today, but that's our studio dog, Blue.
It's a dog. Okay, that's sure. My. It looks sure. Like a wolf. I don't know.
He literally looks like a wolf. He's one of the oldest dog breeds out there, called a Cashon, and he's everyone's best friend that comes in here. You know, he's the best dog ever. He'd be panting right now. That's why he's not in on the interview. But
has he ended up on any recordings yet? Do you know?
I have. I've actually taken his panting and made a loop out of it, almost like a shaker track in a song, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so that was...
Who was the artist? Was it for you?
No, it wasn't for me. It was... who was that man? That was... there was one of the early... Oh, it was my friend Matt. Matt Michael. Yeah, and Matt Michael. He's a great rock artist here in town. But yeah, we did that on one of the songs. I'm trying to remember which song it was. We even sampled our kitchen sink on that song. It was a very Beatles-esque track, very cool song. But this is like 2 years ago, probably. But yeah, we sampled the kitchen sink. We went around trying to like find any sounds we could on this song. We built this really amazing percussion track, and you know, Blue made the cut.
So can you all talk a little bit about your house musicians? Like, what's their CV? What's their background?
I have like a lot of guys I've been working with for over 10 years now up in Nashville, and I still use them on a lot of projects, but I'm trying to build like another group of musicians here in town. Mary Grace Bender Wagoner, she's amazing cello player. Yeah, the guys from Nashville, one of my buddies, Jeff Hyman, he's an amazing guitar player, bass player. He works on a lot of stuff. Tim McDonald, he's one of the best keyboard players I've ever met. He toured with Blake Shelton for a long time, and worked with Johnny Hyland in his side project for a while. And he's still my go-to keyboard player for most projects. And Garrett Goodwin. He played for Carrie Underwood. He was a really great drummer. I don't get to work with him very often anymore, but he still comes in sometimes. Brandon Barnes is awesome. Josiah Thompson, got a big shout out to Josiah Thompson. He's been killing it for drums for us lately, and he's from here, and he's in Belmont now, just doing a really great job. I forget who he's touring with now. Joel Clayton Burrell. Clayton, yeah, he did some banjo for us recently on James Benson's album, and we're still working on that, but turned out really awesome. But yeah, we've been working with a lot of session players locally and guys, you know, that I've worked with for years, just so that I can, you know, that I know will deliver on project. And you know, we always just try to provide the best end result, you know. So if I can find a musician locally that, you know, can pull the part off, that's usually my first go-to.
Ben, what is your biggest goal as a producer or a musician here?
I'm just trying to learn as much as I can, get like really familiar with the technical side of it, because I want to be able to be as, first of all, efficient as I can be for what we're working on now. But like my longer term goal is to know the technical side well enough that I can be efficient but really creative and do stuff that really hasn't been done that way before.
And take over the world.
That's what we do every day here. Try to at least. But as like my musical MO is kind of take things that seem disconnected but are familiar and combine them in a way that's unexpected so that it feels familiar because you recognize some of it, but it's a combination you don't expect. And, you know, long-term career goal, I'd love to be a producer and, you know, pick and choose who I work with. I like what you talked about working with one artist for a month sounds like incredible, just coming in every day and really focusing on something. Yep. And then be able to work on my own music as well, but not have like the financial pressure of I need my music to do really well so I can eat. If I'm getting like a couple thousand streams a month, then you know, that's pretty cool. I know somebody's listening, but that doesn't have to be what makes me my bacon. But
or,
I like working.
Or your French pastries.
Yeah, yeah. French pastries. Little known fact is I am actually from France. May or may not be an original member of Daft Punk, but my NDA has some things to say about that.
These are lies.
Love it.
Oh, okay. What has been each of y'all's favorite project so far working here at Five Points? Do you have like a story that stands out to you from recording here?
I'm working with Lyle from Jimmy Speed on their album, and that's been fun. That's kind of my big like ongoing project. So for one, it's just been a good learning experience, and they've been really cool to work with. I think the songs on that are going to be really cool. They're already really cool. And then as far as like a couple of really cool moments that stand out. One of the first times I was here, we were recording a bunch of drum samples for like a sample library. And we had Tim Very from Manchester Orchestra playing drums on stuff. And Justin goes, "Hey, Ben, I got an idea. You take the desk." And at this point, I was like very new to Pro Tools, still like trying to like put all of the stuff I remember from Logic Pro out of my mind so I don't hit the wrong key. I'm like terrified because I just realized that we're working with a very famous musician, and so I'm like, okay, what's happening here? And he comes out of the closet with a didgeridoo and a can of compressed air and sits down at the drum kit, and he's like, "Hey Ben, get all this." Okay. And
yeah. I've ever done.
he starts spraying the compressed air into one microphone while holding the didgeridoo with the other hand, making the sound. and Tim is sitting behind us just laughing his head off. And then Justin comes in a few minutes later. He's like, "Bro, my lips have never hurt this bad in my life before."
Yeah, I took a didgeridoo class in school, and
you took a didgeridoo class?
My school had very random selections of music side classes.
Was that you could at take. Berkeley?
Yeah,
so I didn't know you were a Berkeley trained didgeridooist.
Circular breathing and all that, but I freaking forgot just about all of it.
Is that what it's called, a didgeridooist?
Dude, I hope so.
I don't know.
I hope so too.
Wait, what?
A didgeridooer, maybe.
I don't know.
Certainly not a didgeridon't.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, regarding any crazy projects that came through, I got the call from a guy from Sony when I was like dropping my kid off for, it was like her first week of kindergarten. I got this call, and I was like, I thought it was a joke. It was like Sony calling me, and so he was like, yeah, I got this artist needs to come in. She lives in North Alabama, and didn't even tell me who it was. And I met her at the door that day, and it was Jessie Murph. And I don't know if you know much about her. She's blown up. I mean, she's done songs with Jelly Roll and Maren Morris and Co Wetzel and all these people now. But yeah, she showed up and she was all like head to toe dressed in black, like super emo. Like it was really funny. The guy that she was with, the producer she was with, was wearing a fur coat, and he had the craziest like bleached blonde curly hair. And so they came in, we did a couple co-writes, recorded a bunch of vocals and some instruments on a few songs. And that producer actually that came in, he's the guy that produced the song Butter for BTS, which was kind of crazy because I didn't even know it until like the end of that session. But yeah,
it sounds like you're describing Mugatu from Zoolander. I'm just saying.
It was a crazy session, but he changed outfits for every part of the song we wrote, and
that's unique.
Yeah. So we did it. We worked on a bunch of tracks, and one of those tracks, we didn't actually write this one, but we did recut vocals for it for Jesse, and Diplo actually picked it up, and it was a song called Heartbroken. It was on like. It was on WZYP. It was on the Big 98 up in Nashville for about a year. So that was really cool, you know, just to see a song from the studio like that actually made mainstream. And then she also did a song here that got into the Fast and Furious 10 movie, I believe, for the credits. So that was really just life-altering just to see something, you know, that I worked on that literally made it out there into, like, the whole world, you know, that could hear it.
To kind of end this, I want to know, Justin and Ben, what do you want artists to take away from a recording session? Like, how do you want them to feel and take with them on their artist journey, if you will? I hate the word journey, but I'm saying it.
Well, I want them to feel, you know, accomplished, and I want them to feel like they've grown as a musician after a session here at the studio. And a lot of newer artists, you know, will obviously pick up a lot of vocal techniques, you know, with recording and recording their instruments and just getting, you know, tighter on their instruments and learning, you know, that recording is not about, you know, getting a one perfect take throughout the whole song. You know, you could take it a little piece by piece. I mean, if I showed you my guitar tracks even now, like, I'd be a little embarrassed to show you how many cuts there are, you know, to get it to sound the way I want. But I mean, when you're in a studio, the possibilities are endless, you know. Using technology to your advantage creatively, I feel like is totally fine, you know. There's no rules, you know, in music.
And then?
I want the person to walk away with a product that serves their vision. Like, I want their idea of what their music sounds like in their head to be realized for them. And I want it to be a smooth creative experience to where it's not like frustrating. It's not like banging our head against the walls to try to get the right thing, but we want it to be a good experience the whole way through. I want the final product to sound authentic to the artist so that we're not turning them into somebody that they aren't or that they don't want to be, that it's all like smooth where it needs to be and the edges that need to be rough are left rough, and that we're going to do what it takes to get the right sound, not just like the shiniest sound, if that makes sense. Like, some of my favorite Mountain Goat songs were recorded on a four track sitting in the floor. You know, if we need to do that to get an authentic song, then that's cool. And it can be rough in the right way, and it can be recorded on a Neumann through an API desk into an 1176. And, you know, have all of the fancy tools used on it if we need to. I just want to do what it takes to get the best product for them.
I did have one more question I just thought of. Justin, what are your hopes and dreams for your protege here? What do you want to see Ben excel and soar and do in his career?
I don't ever want to see Ben leave the studio, you know. I want to hold on to Ben as long as I can, you know, and I want to see him grow and build up his own clients. And, you know, that's why I'm trying to build out other recording studios in the main facility, you know, so there's other spaces for us to work at the same time and take on more projects and just grow together as musicians. And, you know, whenever we work on projects together, Ben and I complement each other as well, because, you know, I started as a guitar player, he started as a keyboard player, and we're both like learning each other's instruments over the years. And but we're also into similar styles of music mainly. And you know, Ben's a guy that, like, when I met him and I heard about what he likes to work on, you know, I was like, that's a guy that I could trust him to take on the stuff that I'm working on when I can't be working on it too, because he listens to the same stuff I listen to. And he reminds me a lot of myself, you know, when I first started my studio back in Nashville and where I was at the time. And, you know, I kind of want to see him eventually, you know, be able to like run this place as well, you know, as long as everyone's happy, you know, that's the end goal. I want to be involved in everything, but, you know, I can't at the end of the day. I really, really enjoy having Ben here, you know, and
hope you never leave, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you guys for talking with me today. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks for having us.